Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Team, the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp, and Operation Military Kids. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
We recently asked the Minnesota military community to share stories with us about companies that are going above and beyond to support military employees. Our response was encouraging, and I want to share some of the stories with you that we've received. A few companies had great stories of hiring veterans. The Disabled Veterans Rest Camp has known the importance of hiring veterans since 1926. They say they're proud to have only hired veterans for the last 96 years. Today, the camp is known as Veterans Campground on Big Marine Lake, and numerous veteran employees run the day-to-day operations. There's a new gym in Wilmer focusing on military veterans called Total Fitness. The owner of the gym, Dr. John Hafner, is a chiropractor who shares his goal to provide a facility that helps put together fitness and wellness programs for those who serve. He just hired a Navy petty officer to be his cross trainer, and they are developing gym programs that parallel military programs. Over in Minnetonka, the Human Capital Division of United Health Group has committed to hiring veterans and active duty military spouses. In fact, this spring, the company joined a coalition of corporate partners committed to hiring at least 100,000 veterans by 2020. These employers know that returning service members are highly trained, well-educated, and experienced leaders. To these employers that are hiring today's veterans, I say thank you. To learn how you can hire a veteran of your own at your company, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining us now are two members of the Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team, Colonel Thomas J. Simonette, United States Air Force, and Captain Richard Henderson, United States Navy. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. I appreciate that.
Good afternoon.
Captain, thank you. Colonel, since you're in the Air Force, we're gonna start with you. I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about your career? How long have you been in the Air Force?
I'm coming up on being in the service for 40 years. I started back in 1972 as an enlisted person working on jet aircraft in Kunsan, Korea, Homestead Air Force Base. Got out for a bit and then joined the Minnesota National Guard in 1983. Received the commissioned in 1986 and worked my way through the 133rd Airlift Group in St. Paul. And then in 2004, became the Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer for Minnesota.
And, Captain, can you tell us a little bit about your career in the Navy?
Yeah, just hit 27 years, how it creeps up on you. I'm a surface warfare officer on active duty. I was a battleship, Missouri, and an amphib sailor, and went over into the reserves and have done tours in expeditionary combat, ships training, fleet staffs. I deployed to Egypt after 9/11 for an ATFP exercise. Recently was in Bahrain for an exercise. And my last tour, I worked with carrier strike groups, integrating reservists back aboard strike groups. And then I came here to Minnesota at the end of 2010 as the Navy's Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer.
Well, Captain, I'd like to follow up with you. Can you explain to me what is Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team? I knew I'd mess that up once today, if not more.
We're a team with the Army and the Air Force, and we work together to bring what's called defense support to civil authorities, DISCA, to in the event of a emergency or some kind of disaster to bring a Department of Defense resources to support the state of Minnesota.
So, Colonel, does that mean as a team you work with the local law enforcement agencies and government agencies to provide some additional help if they need it?
In a disaster event, we are assigned to the Minnesota Homeland Security Emergency Management Team, and we get there to listen to what's going on. And as the event starts to unfold and it gets to a point where they need assistance from the federal government, we're there to help bring in those Department of Defense assets to the state.
So if Minnesota has some issues with flooding or wildfires, those type of things, they can ask for additional help?
Once the governor declares a presidential declaration that the disaster needs federal assistance, yes. But it needs to go to the level of a disaster that the president has declared the state it needs additional assets that are in the federal source.
Now you're scaring me a little bit. Just saying that those few words, all I can think of is red tape and we've got an emergency and this is going to take forever.
No, the federal government has built what's called the Federal Response Framework, which is the agreement between all federal agencies on how they will help assist the state in a disaster situation. And it is to take away that red tape to get the resources as quickly as possible to the local communities that need it.
Captain?
And you know, part of that framework that Tom's talking about is it gets everybody following the same procedures and the same training, the local, state, and federal DOD. We're all trained up in the same processes and procedures so that when the event does happen, we're all working off the same sheet of music and we're familiar with how the process works.
We're speaking with Captain Richard Henderson, United States Navy, and Colonel Thomas J. Simonette, members of the Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, what type of resources do you have access to that the state agencies or local agencies maybe don't?
Well, you know, in theory, all military units can be used for defense support of civil authorities, but you know, it would vary based on what the event is. Typically, it could be logistics support or extra communications ability, also to provide basing and staging to support assets that are coming in from a national level to support an event.
Colonel, I'm curious, when I look at the makeup of your team, there's a Navy captain and you're an Air Force colonel, and you have an Army contingent there too. Does that mean that you have access to, you each coordinate access with the Army, Air Force, Navy, those type of things?
We coordinate amongst ourselves and trying to make sure that we understand what is available in each of the services. We do have an example that happened in Minnesota where all four services were involved, even to include the Marines, with the bridge collapse of 2007, where the Navy divers came into town. And it's how we coordinated the receipt of those Navy assets into the area to be used by the county sheriff of Hennepin. And those people were then a special asset that Navy had that was needed at that time.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about that the bridge disaster when that caved in and the flood response 2012. And I walk through just an example of how you work with the state and local authorities to help with emergency preparedness. We're speaking with Colonel Thomas Simonette, United States Air Force, and Captain Richard Henderson, United States Navy, members of Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm speaking to Colonel Thomas J. Simonette, United States Air Force, and Captain Richard Henderson, United States Navy, both members of the Minnesota Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team. Colonel Simonette, before we took the break, we were talking about the bridge collapse that happened a few years back here in Minnesota. And maybe you can just walk us through what happens there. I can remember the afternoon, and it collapsed, and it was a tragedy, and the sheriff jumped in, and after that, there were a lot of resources, a lot of people working on the bridge. But who was in charge of that, and how did they determine what resources were necessary, and how did that work together? Can you walk us through that?
The story starts with the sheriff of Hennepin County talking to the president of the United States, and the president turned to him and asked him, what kind of resources do you need? And he had his divers in the water, but they were working in an area that they were not comfortable with, getting into the collapsed structure of the bridge. And the sheriff needed some expertise, and the Navy had the salvage divers out of Norfolk, Virginia, available. And so the Department of Transportation from the U.S. Department of Transportation turned to the U.S. Navy and asked them if they could use that resource to come into Minnesota to help the Navy, the Hennepin County Sheriff, do the recovery efforts. The group from Norfolk arrived on around, if I remember right, August 5th, and they were already in the water doing research and rescue, or not rescue efforts, but recovery efforts during that time period on August 6th, the morning of about 2 o'clock in the morning. So we had to bring those people to the site and prepare them and get them ready to do the diving.
So was in that particular instance, was the sheriff basically in charge of the scene?
The local authority is always in charge of the scene, and in this case, the Hennepin County Sheriff was responsible for the diving operations around the bridge.
So then did he come to members of your liaison team and ask for various things, or you were there to offer whatever might be available?
We were there to support him in any way we possibly can to make sure that the resources he needed were available for that diving operations.
And were there more than just the Navy divers that came in on that?
Right. No, pretty much it was just the Navy divers. All we had really was in the background, the defense coordinating officer from FEMA Region 5 did the military lead, but he was always on the hip of the Hennepin County Sheriff as he was trying to work with the local community in making sure that the liaison was taking place.
So part of what you do in between these disasters is to get to know some of the state and local officials so that they know you're there and what resources might be available, and if they need them, they come and ask?
Every day we go out and we try to meet with different local authorities, especially at the state level, to allow them to see our face and know what kind of resources each one of the different Department of Defense agencies has.
It's got to make them feel good to know that there are national resources available and they know how to get it.
It's one of the tools that they have available in their kit to help bring and reduce pain and suffering when a disaster strikes a local area.
Captain, I know you've been involved in the flood response 2012. Can you tell us how that works and what you anticipate from year to year in the flood efforts?
Yeah, that's a good example to go over what we do. You know, there is the 1% where something actually happens, but the 99% is, you know, preparing and planning and liaisoning. And so the flood response every year is a really good example of that. Every spring, you're going to have some kind of flooding in Minnesota and in the upper Midwest. And so we begin preparing for it months in advance. We have meetings, coordinate with all the officials that'll potentially respond. And this gives a good overview of what the most important part of our job is in liaisoning and building relationships and, you know, learning who the key people are that you're going to be talking with. And, you know, as we say in this industry, you don't want to be standing in the mud exchanging business cards when something bad happens. And so that goes on every year. I think this year with the lack of snowfall and the warmer temperatures, we don't have as much of a risk. But then the flip side of that is we go into an increase with wildfires. So we're starting to look at that going later into the summer.
And, Captain, I'm just curious. I know that last spring, a year ago, that the governor and the adjutant general spent a lot of time preparing for the floods because we had them. What type of resources would they ask you for in those circumstances?
Yeah, it was we were looking at we kind of look at things of what's the risk and the probability, and it was almost a certainty that it was going to be one of the worst floods ever. But then we had what was, you know, kind of called a slow burn, where it did warm up as quickly, did get the precipitation, so that drawed out. But in that event, The DOD could have been involved with setting up a staging base to bring resources in. If the additional resources would needed, they could be things like logistics, helicopters, transportation, that kind of support.
So federal assets, in other words.
That's kind of federal asset, yes.
Captain, your other counterpart, Colonel Rick Wallen, couldn't join us today, but the three of you work together closely in Minnesota's emergency preparedness?
Yes, we like the term purple EPLOS, that term, it's come across the military where we all have to be purple. It's not Army green or Air Force blue or Navy blue. We're all working together, and we like to use the term purple.
Colonel, that purple means that's a good thing, isn't it?
That is a fabulous term to be used to show the jointness of all our service compadres.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of emphasizes, we're not necessarily a Navy EPLO, but that I'm an EPLO who happens to come from the Navy. He's an EPLO that happens to come from the Air Force. We pretty much are interchangeable and do the same things. We just each have a little more understanding of, in the event something happens, what the resources would be.
And Captain, for our audience, EPLO means?
Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer.
We weren't going to use acronyms today, but we did pretty good for most of the show.
Well, I'm going to be fine for that.
Captain, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just want to emphasize that, you think about the military, they're off in faraway places, performing missions, but that they're, each of the service branches, Navy, Army, Air Force, that we're also here serving the community behind the scenes, doing the liaison work, building the relationships, and that because of that, we'll be ready to respond in the event that there's a significant emergency that needs a little more help.
Thank you, Captain. Colonel, final words from the Air Force.
From the Air Force, there will always be a final word, but here's what I'd like to leave with a thought, and that is, Minnesota is a unique state. It's one of the few states in the nation where there is not a federal military presence. And Minnesota is blessed with probably the best National Guard structure in the country. We have probably the strongest end strength of any unit outside of the country. We rely upon our National Guard heavily in both a federal mission and a state mission. When it comes down to an EPLO, or Emergency Preparedness Liaison Officer's role, we do not get needed as much as in other states because of the strength and the leadership that is in the National Guard.
Gentlemen, we're about out of time, but it's comforting to know that we have in Minnesota an Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team, and that all of the assets of the Navy and the Air Force and the Army are available to help local and state governments when necessary. Thanks for joining us today, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the opportunity, Tom.
That was Colonel Thomas Simonette from the United States Air Force and Captain Richard Henderson from the United States Navy, both members of the Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Liaison Team on Minnesota Military Radio. With an employment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help hire Minnesota's heroes. This week's veteran is Marine Corporal Nathan Warner of Minneapolis. Serving during the initial invasion of Iraq in 2003, Nathan was responsible for retrofitting the unit's unarmed Humvees and overseeing their maintenance. Nathan now has a bachelor's degree in international business from the University of St. Thomas, and has studied at the University of London and Tech de Monterrey of Mexico. He has leadership experience in sales, marketing, quality assurance, and training. Nathan and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Nathan, contact the South Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans. When we return to Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn about the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp and Operation Military Kids. Please stay with us.
This is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This message is to help employers recruit top-notch people. Did you know that only 27% of the men and women between the ages of 17 and 24 qualify to be in the U.S. military? That's right, only 27% qualify to be in the U.S. military. One out of six veterans were on the front line. That means five out of six veterans worked in supply and support positions. The United States military is one of the best training institutions in the world. Our veterans have received excellent training on the latest supply and support technologies, the same supply and support know-how that is required to contribute to the success of a company. The words unselfish, technology talented, and policy discipline describe most of our veterans. If those words describe the type of person you're looking for, do what I did. Add to all your job postings and your website that you're a veteran-friendly employer and participate in the National Hire Vets First campaign. Thank you, veterans, and thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp and Operation Military Kids. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
Across the state, Minnesotans will come together next weekend for a somber occurrence, Memorial Day. Unlike Veterans Day, which honors all U.S. military veterans, Memorial Day is set aside to specifically honor those who have died in service to this nation. No greater sacrifice has ever been asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the lives of every single citizen in this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute my fallen comrades. There is no observance in America more somber than Memorial Day. In events held across America this Memorial Day weekend, people will gather in small towns and big cities for one purpose: to remember our war dead, pay homage to their sacrifices and courage, and recognize the selflessness of military service. Across the generations and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many paid the ultimate price. Every day, young men and women are returning from Afghanistan. Most come home to joyous reunions with loved ones. Others come home with the visible and indivisible wounds of armed conflict, while still others return in solemn, eternal repose beneath a draped American flag. We cannot even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the chairman of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp, Master Sergeant Rich Kemp. Sergeant Kemp, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on today and talk about our great program.
I understand you've been a volunteer with the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp for years. Can you tell us about your involvement, Sergeant Kemp?
I have been a volunteer since the first camp we had in 1991. Been there every year as a volunteer except one. 1 year I was deployed to Iraq. Otherwise, I've been there every year as a volunteer.
Is that an excuse?
But it's a very enjoyable. I have a great time working with the kids, and I wouldn't miss it.
And Sergeant Kemp, how long have you been in the National Guard, and how long have you been in the military?
I've actually been in the military for 30 years, and I've been a full-time National Guard soldier for 21.
And you've been involved in this program since 1991. How did they hook you to get involved in this?
Well, I've always had an enjoyment for working with kids, and the program started through the recruiting command. I was working in recruiting command at the time, and they started the program in 1991. And the first year we had 1 week of the camp, and you kind of did everything. You were a counselor, you were night security, you were running an activity. So we put in long days and nights, and we're pretty tired by the end of the week, but it's just so rewarding.
Well, you were there when they started this. Now, can you explain to me what is the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp? Who's it for, and what happens there?
The camp is for children of Minnesota National Guard members, their kids, their nieces and nephews, grandchildren, brothers and sisters can come to the camp. It's a one-week camp at Camp Ripley in central Minnesota, and it's just like a lot of other camps. We have biking, hiking, canoeing, swimming, but we add a few more things that go along with the military. Teach them how to march. They march better than some of the adults do there, so that's kind of fun to see. They you know, we raise and lower the flag every day. So we have a ceremony and they sing God Bless the USA. And at the end of the week, we also teach them how to dispose of a flag properly when it's worn out.
We're speaking with Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, chairman of the Minnesota National Guard Youth Camp on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Kemp, for those that might not be familiar, can you describe Camp Ripley a little bit? It's up in northern Minnesota. It's a large facility, one of the best in the United States, isn't it?
It is. It's in between Little Falls and Brainerd on Highway 371. 53,000 acres of training. There's like a little small area that's like a little city where everybody, where you stay and all the training and classroom. There's classrooms there. And then you go outside the gates there into the training area, and that's a massive area. And the kids go out there for, we fire 22s at targets. They go out to a confidence course where they a lot of team building. It's great to see that with the kids. Some of the kids who don't want to do it, but they work together as a team and convince them to try the activities, and they just feel so much better afterwards. We also go camping for one night out in the woods. They do skits at the campfire each night. A lot of different activities that you'd see at a normal camp, but we just throw in a few military activities. And it's also an opportunity for them to see what their parents do when they go to one weekend drill or they go on a deployment. And the other nice thing about it is kids who have a parent who's been deployed, when they go to school, they don't have anybody else who knows what they're going through. But at this camp, they can meet other kids whose parents have deployed, and they have someone they can communicate with and talk to after the camp.
Sergeant Kemp, as you said, it's a huge facility, 53,000 acres, and there's a lot of wildlife. You've actually got a wildlife center there that with stuffed animals, and I'm sure you give the youth or the young military kids some briefings on that too, don't you?
They do. They've gotten tours of the DNR facility there with all the stuffed animals, and then the DNR staff has also come out into the woods when we do the hike out to the camp out and given the kids some classes, briefings on some of the nature that they'll see out there.
Now, how many kids do you get each year, and how many have come through since 1991? Probably quite a few.
There's been a lot. We average around between 80 and 120 kids for each camp, and we have two different camps. One is for 8 to 10-year-old kids, and that's what we call our youth camp, and then 13 to 15-year-old is the teen camp. And so they do a little bit different things in each one. The younger kids do the basic things, and as they get into the teen camp, they'll do more of a rappel tower. Instead of canoeing on a lake in a little small area, they actually canoe down the Mississippi River, and they have different groups come in and speak to them about teen issues. So they get a little bit different type of a scenario for the teenagers. And then when they turn 16, they can become a junior counselor. 16 and 17-year-olds can become junior counselors, and then hopefully we hook them enough that they'll stay on and be an adult counselor after that.
Have some of these kids signed up for the Guard since 1991?
Oh, there's been a lot. I've seen kids come up to me, and you know, I hadn't seen them since they were 12 years old, and they'll say, and they call me at camp Richie Rich, and they'll say, Richie Rich, what's going on? And I'll say, I have to look at them for a while. Who are you? And then I realize it was one of my campers from 10 years ago. But we see a lot of them join the Guard.
Sergeant Kemp, are some of these first-timers that come to the camp a little apprehensive about it?
Yes, they arrive on Sunday, and Sunday afternoon can be pretty interesting for some of them. They've never been away from home before. And one year I had a young boy who we don't know their names yet because we don't have name tags when we first get there. And this young guy, he started walking away from our group. And I started to go kind of walk after him, and then all of a sudden he started running. And at Camp Ripley, they have the tin huts, and they're about not very much space between them, a couple feet, and he was running between there, and I'm chasing after him, and finally we got enough counselors, and we got him corralled in, and he just said he didn't want to be there, and he was crying, and he made it through the week, and on Saturday he was crying again because he didn't want to go home. And that's the most rewarding part of it, is seeing those kids grow during that 1 week period.
Okay, that one came around, didn't he?
Many of them go through the same thing, but not quite that extent.
Sergeant Kemp, if our military kids want to find out more about the camp, is there somewhere you can send them?
Yes, we have a website. It's mngyc.org. The camp this year takes place week one is July 22nd through the 28th, And the second week is July 29th through August 4th. They go to the website, they can sign up there and find out a lot more details on the camp.
And the website, one more time?
Is mngyc.org.
And we'll have a link to that site on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Kemp, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Kia Harries about Operation Military Kids. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is Kia Harries from Operation Military Kids. Kia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
Can you explain to me what is Operation Military Kids?
Minnesota Operation Military Kids is actually a partner in a 50-state U.S. Army initiative that is part of the Operation Military Kids program, and our goal is to address the needs of military children by helping them feel connected, active, and supported both before, during, and after their loved one's deployment.
That sounds like a big job. How do you achieve that?
Well, our target audience is kindergarten through 12th grade youth, and we look for opportunities that already exist. It might be with a family readiness group program, it might be with a yellow ribbon program, or it might be different camps and opportunities that we have to reach out to these young people and deliver some programming.
Kia, I understand that you have been a 4-H youth development educator for over 20 years. And is Operation Military Kids connected with the University of Minnesota 4-H Extension?
Absolutely. I have done 4-H youth development work in Minnesota for 20 years, and that is actually what the connection is from the University of Minnesota's Extension and the 4-H program. Is we're part of a land-grant system, and the land-grant universities across the country are the hosts to the Operation Military Kids program. So that's a nice connect. We offer the youth development experience. We have the connection to the 4-H Youth Development Program that has a program in every county in Minnesota. So a great connect for these military families that we know are dispersed across the state.
Terrific. And what do you have going for military kids this summer?
We actually have a program called Speak Out for Military Kids, and it is a retreat opportunity, and it will be held July 22nd through the 24th. That's a Sunday through a Tuesday. And what this retreat is the opportunity for young people to come together and develop their military peer friendships, connect with one another, to build their leadership skills, and to do some improvement of their public speaking and communication skills. So we'll actually gather on a Sunday evening at the Radisson Hotel in Bloomington, which is also the home of the Water Park of America. And we will do lots of different activities, team building, some communication skills, and we have the young people start to tell their story. They start to tell their story about being a military child, how that has impacted them having a deployment, and then at the end of the retreat, we actually have them tell their stories to their family and to some invited guests. And what we've learned through this experience is that young people have a very fascinating story to tell about their experiences, but most of the time their families haven't heard their story. So the families are pretty fascinated, find that a very interesting experience. And then many times those young people go back out in their community and share that story and just build that awareness for people who don't know a lot about what happens with military kids during this experience, because they're not typically the ones making the news and being able to share that story.
Kia, what are the age ranges of the kids, and how many are expecting?
We have the opportunity is for 6th through 11th grade students, so young people who've finished those grades in school this school year. And we are looking for 20 young people in Minnesota who want to come and meet others. And the fun part is they get to use all sorts of technology. We have a mobile tech lab, which is part of the Operation Military Kids program, so laptop computers, flip cams, digital cameras, some recording equipment. So they get to tell their story in a fun, technological way. And then, of course, we do enjoy some fun and activity because we will get to go to the Water Park of America as part of that experience.
And Kia, how are you organized and how are you supported?
We are organized here in Minnesota. We are actually a team. We have a state team that makes some decisions and guides the program. And those are educational, civic, military, private organization folks. And we are supported through the Army and the Department of Defense. And Operation Military Kids is actually considered a purple organization, which means that we support all branches of the military because we know we have them here in Minnesota, people who live here throughout the year and our reserve components, but we also have many active duty folks and families who call Minnesota home as well.
And last question, how do the military kids find you?
Our website is www.operationmilitarykids.org. And if you click on that, and then there's a map you can click on that says State News, and you click on that, and you will find the Minnesota page, and it has a scrolling bar that talks about the Speak Out for Military Kids retreat and all kinds of other opportunities that are available to kids.
And the website, one more time?
www.operationmilitarykids.org.
Kaya, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Kaya Harries from Operation Military Kids. Before we go, we have a few events to mention. Joining us now to talk about the first one is Scott Lear of Burl Oaks Golf Course in Minnetrista. Scott, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Scott, I understand you've got another Memorial Day event coming up to raise some funds to support the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
We do. We on the first tee, we take donations for Minnesota Military Family Foundation. All our members pretty much participate, and they give from their heart, and you know it's just such a great organization. And what's really near and dear to most of them is that everything stays in Minnesota.
It's all about helping Minnesota troops and their families, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
So you're going to be doing that all day Memorial Day.
Yes, we sure will. And last year, I think we raised well over $1,600, and we're hoping for the same this year.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great day raising funds. And if they want to find out more about Burl Oaks, what's your website?
Our website is www.burloaksgolfclub.com.
BurlOaksGolfClub.com. Scott, have a great day, Memorial Day, and thanks for your help.
Thank you, Tom. It's our pleasure.
Next up, the Minnesota Warriors will be hosting a Memorial Day afternoon full of hockey and heroes at the Vadnais Arena. The Minnesota Warriors Hockey Club members are veterans from all branches of the military with service-connected disabilities, and they will be honoring Brian McDonough, killed in action in 2006 in Iraq, as part of the pregame ceremonies. Brian's family will be presented a Warriors jersey with his name and high school number on the back. This important event is significant to the team and the hockey community as Brian will now have a permanent spot on the Minnesota Warriors honor roster. They will also be holding a clothing drive to benefit MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council of Veterans, and be accepting donations at the entrance. Also, please join us for a special edition of the Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day from 6 to 9 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, a.m. 1130. I'll have a special co-host with me that day, Brigadier General Neil Leutholt, and we'll have guests from all across the state. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion or a topic you would like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Captain Richard Henderson, Colonel Thomas Simonette, Master Sergeant Rich Kemp, Kaya Harries, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the challenges facing Minnesota's unemployed veterans. That's next Sunday morning at 7 or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.